This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are indeed heroes around you. When we take the time to talk to some of our more seasoned neighbors, we end up hearing some pretty incredible stories about things most of us have never experienced and maybe can't even imagine. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, preserve their stories so we don't forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, boy, do we learn a lot. We're educated, we're entertained, we're even inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. And we are in for one whale of a story today from an energetic 97-year-old named Eugene Leonard. You know, in over a decade of interviewing World War II veterans now, I've had the privilege of meeting quite a few Pearl Harbor survivors, from a sailor trapped in the capsized hull of the USS Oklahoma to Army men at Schofield Barracks, teenagers who had just been waking up on their ships that Sunday morning. We've heard some pretty interesting vantage points on that day which has lived in infamy, but we're going to get a new one today because Gene Leonard was at Eva Marine Corps Air Station on December 7th, 1941. You've probably seen photos, I know you've seen photos, from Battleship Row at Pearl Harbor, but if you go to hometownheroesradio.com and click on Gene's story or visit the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, you'll find photos from Eva Field on December 7th. It was hit 2 minutes before Pearl Harbor was attacked, and as a result, none of the 49 planes on the ground at Eva Field could be used to defend against that Japanese attack. Gene Leonard had been working on those planes and keeping them flight-worthy as part of his duties with MAG 21. MAG stands for Marine Air Group. We'll get to the events of December 7th, 1941, but let's start with this Kansas native's memories of what he found when he first arrived in Hawaii.
When we got to Eva, it was a solid field of hemp and all that, and coral holes and all that. We had to make a base. We lived in tents. And living was kind of poor. But instead of working on airplanes, they sent me over to Ford Island to bake bread. That was my KP duty. You know, you always got so much KP duty for their service. Somebody has to do it. Well, it worked to baking bread. Oh, he's a good baker. Hey, not me. I got to get out of here. So I baked bad bread. I got out.
What'd you do to make it bad? Just put the wrong ingredients or something?
They left out some of the ingredients, you know, and didn't rise right and all that, see?
So then they sent you back to Eva Field and you got to work
they
on planes again?
Back to the field. I started back to work.
And what were your duties there then?
Well, they put me to J2F.
Explain to everybody, what's a J2F? Most people haven't heard of a J2F.
It landed on water or land by a plane. Carried two people, and the third would be back in the hull part below the regular airplane, the boat part, and we towed targets for people to shoot at targets and, learn how to be a gunner in moving targets. Fact is, right there, I've got a picture of a good friend that got two Japanese on the raid because he was over doing target shooting. We'd been towing for him to learn that.
Were you towing the targets for aerial gunners or for anti-aircraft from the ground?
There's learned to be aerial gunners.
On SBDs or what?
Yes, SBD. He was killed in the Battle of Midway, SBD. With Major Henderson was his gunner. The guy's name was Robert E. Lee Page. He got two on the raid.
When you say the raid, you're talking about December 7th. Were you enjoying yourself there in Hawaii before the Japanese attacked? Was that a neat adventure for a boy from Kansas?
Well, I got along no matter where I went. I had good times, but I'm one of these guys that always had transportation. I bought me a 32 V8 Ford. It was shot up in the raid, too, but it's still drivable. I've always had transportation.
I noticed driving up, your transportation now has a Pearl Harbor survivor license plate on it. And that was easy to find your house with that and the big American flag flying out front. Did you have any idea before December 7th? Was there any concern that the Japanese might attack?
None at all. Absolutely surprised.
Tell me about that Sunday morning. What's the first thing you remember?
I remember the airplanes flying about, 8-10 miles away. Coming in, they looked different. But they was tiny, you know, that's quite a ways away. And I could see torpedoes hanging halfway below the airplane. The nose would be pointed down from the airplane. That's what they used to sink the different ships.
So when you first saw the airplanes, did you think?
We discussed it. You know, all the guys, we stand colored, you know, your mom.
Yeah.
But, hey, what's going on? Hey, they look different. And as soon as that's over, of course, I had to go to my guard station. And when we went to the guard station, when we was attacked for this base, see, this is the first airplane come over our way, attacked the truck that I was in.
When you first saw those planes, did you think they were American planes?
Oh, no. I could see that red thing.
Even when they were far away, though, I mean, when you saw them on the horizon.
I didn't know what there was when they were far away. We didn't know what there was.
So did it start to trigger maybe something's wrong here?
No, I really didn't know something was wrong at all until we got in the ring and that plane come after us. Then I knew something was wrong. We knew right then, but it's already too late. We didn't have anything to do.
So you and another guard are driving a truck. How big a truck?
Just a pickup with a flatbed.
So you don't have much protection?
No protection whatsoever.
And the very first plane that comes in that's firing
at that truck.
And that's where they came from, that direction. So they got to Eva Field before they got to Battleship Row, right?
No, they broke off from the battles. They was coming in from the north side of the island and across. And we could see them going across to Pearl Harbor. And you see, they just broke off to, they had to get our airplanes too, you know.
Yeah.
And because they broke off, see, there was Schofield Barracks and Wheeler Armor Air, all them. They was attacking them all at the same time.
And you guys at your field had, what, about 40 or 50 airplanes?
Well, there was three squadrons, and we only had about eight in our squadron. And then there's dive bombing, a fighter squadron, and another a scout bomber squadron.
And so some of those planes are planes that, had you guys been able to get them in the air, could have fought with the Japanese planes and inhibited the damage.
The rear gunners and all that would be after them, and the fighter planes and everything.
But they were able to destroy them all right there on the ground.
They destroyed them on the ground. No ammunition anywhere.
And they almost destroyed you. So your truck, the Japanese plane, is firing machine gun bullets right at you. You got out of the truck. And
I got out of it, so did the other guy.
And you had an idea of where a safe place to go would be. Tell me what that was.
Well, that was the big building where the morning mask was, where the holes was in the ground.
So this Eva Field had been used in World War One with dirigibles, inflatable airships.
Right.
And so they had these big hangars, and there were holes grounded.
No big hangars. There was no hangars whatsoever.
But so what was the purpose of this building you were hiding in?
Well, it's just machinery to cables up and down for the tower.
But you knew that in that building, as kind of a leftover of the old technology, there were these big holes
That's
in the ground.
Right. There's just holes in the ground.
How big around were they?
Oh, it wasn't round. It was long. Probably that wide.
4 or 5 feet?
4 feet, 5 feet long.
So you and the other guy run in there and jump in those holes?
He didn't follow me. No. I just went for the, I don't know where he went.
So you just knew that's a safe place to go?
I was trying to get away from the bullets is all I knew.
So you hopped down in this hole. Was there anything else in that hole?
No.
Nothing crawling on you?
Well, like I say, scorpions was all over the place, and was and spiders and all that. So that's about all that's around.
So you preferred a bug bite to a Japanese bullet?
I preferred, I knew the holes were there. See, I was second in rank. the number one sergeant in rank, was killed probably 75 feet from where I was at. He got out there, grabbed a fire extinguisher where the airplanes was, and he got shot.
Were you guys pretty defenseless at that point?
We was defenseless.
You didn't have anti-aircraft guns or anything like that?
We didn't have anything, no ammunition or anything.
So the best thing you could have done is what you did, because there was nothing you were going to do to the Japanese. You just had to make sure you survived. What was it like to be in that hole, and what were you hearing? What was happening around you?
All I heard was the rattle of the building of the machine gun fire hitting it. I didn't know whatever. I just ducked down all I could in that to dodge everything. I happened to know that was there because it was right close to my work area, see. The airplanes that I worked on was right outside of that, right close to where I was at. But I just ducked down in the hole, see, because I happened to know they was there.
How long you think you were in the hole?
5, 10 minutes. I don't know. I have no idea. I was ducked down and trying to, you know, work as much safety. And as soon as that building stopped rattling, I run to the guardhouse to get my rifle and no ammunition, of course. And the truck took us, it'd come back to the guardhouse and took us to the ammunition sheds. And I got in there with a .45, broke the lock. And we loaded ammunition as fast as we could. There was in a cloth deal that full of 30-06 ammunition. And we was just that ammunition to people. Everyone was grabbing rifles and everything else. And of course, then we got machine gun ammunition and all that. But hey, the machine guns, the stands all broke up. We armed ourselves just as fast as we could, if ever we could, because we figured they was coming in for a landing, which they did not do.
Yeah, so you guys really weren't prepared for that initial attack, and then after that, you prepared and nothing else happened.
We prepared for an attack by land troops, because that's the only thing we could do.
And the reason I asked you how long you were in the hole, and you said 5 or 10 minutes, something tells me it felt like a lot longer than that.
I don't know, because it's not very long. It doesn't take very long to set the airplanes on fire. They're just sitting on the ground everywhere, lined up. Mm-hmm. And, hey, they could come down hitting them airplanes and fire. They got them on fire so fast you can't believe it, because it's all lined up.
What was going through your mind as you were in that hole?
I don't have any idea. It was just that I was trying to save myself. I didn't know what was going on except that I was being shot at.
When the building stopped rattling and you came out of there, what did you see? What was the scene around you?
Airplanes on fire. Just piles of planes are burning. All that fuel had to be burnt. See, it's burning everywhere.
So I'm sure it smells horrible. It's noisy. It's an absolute nightmare, I would imagine. Were you in shock with all of this?
Well, on the way, I had a parking area for some automobiles, too. Mm-hmm. Fairly close to there, between us and the guardhouse for the entrance gate. And that's where we was standing colors, entrance to the base. On the way there, I come across where we had parking area for automobiles, and I had a 32 V8 Ford. A car was sitting next to mine, had another car on top of it. What happened? The Navy, of their excitement, they shot up anti-aircraft shells, you know, like 3-inch anti-aircraft. It has to be set to when it's going to go off, the altitude and such as that. They didn't have a set. They went up from Pearl Harbor and come down to a car next to the second car over from mine, hit the car, blew it to paper pieces, and set it on the car next to mine.
So
that's the only bomb they hit us, the Navy.
Yeah, the American shell that wasn't set right. And almost took out your car, took one buyer's, but you said your car was shot up also?
Five holes through it, and that's all.
How long did you keep that car?
Until I got transferred back to the States.
That was actually a pretty unique piece of Pearl Harbor history, wasn't it? Your 32 Ford that got shot up by Japanese planes?
Well, I sold it to a friend for $50, but never did get my $50. Come back by, and he was there.
I've heard stories about that, like that on the islands. Won't say if I've experienced any of them. You know, that could be a museum piece now, your 32 Ford with five Japanese bullet holes in it.
Well, I always got transportation, though, some way.
That's still true today. This 97-year-old can still crack open the hood of a car and see and do things that most of us couldn't even dream of. He still goes hunting and fishing, and as you can hear in his voice, he still has an incredible amount of energy. We need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to go back to December 7th, 1941, and hear a little more about what Gene Leonard experienced on that day that changed the world. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Remember when the bank gave you free checking and savings accounts, even making money for you when you kept your dollars there? Paul Leffler here to say, I've recaptured those days, and you can too with EECU. It's not a bank, it's a nonprofit credit union that just keeps growing and growing. The newest branch is in Tulare, and nearly a quarter million EECU members represent 10 different California counties. As little as $250 in a savings account earns you dividends. And access is so easy. 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And I haven't even told you what I love most about EECU, the credit union's support of causes up and down our area, like Central Valley Honor Flight. Close to 500 World War II veterans have gotten to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. for free because of the leadership and financial support of EECU. Ready to join the team yet? Call 1-800-538-3328.